We all need a lazy day once in a while, kick back on the couch and watch a game. But when we give in and hold on to and yield to feelings of indifference, that's when we begin to slip into sin. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle tough issues men might think about but seldom talk about. As we conclude our series on the seven deadly sins, sloth is our topic this time on Crossing the Goal. We might show a little extra zeal as we tackle sloth this time on Crossing the Goal for our kickoff. By now, you know our Crossing the Goal team. It's good to have them back together again from Renewal Ministries. Peter Herbeck, Curtis Martin is with Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and our coach, the all-pro wide receiver and former NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. Gentlemen, sloth is laziness and beyond, and it really has to do with an indifference towards life, doesn't it, Peter?
Yeah, oftentimes we think about sloth as a physical thing. He's lazy, he's slothful, but really the sinful dimension, one of the seven deadly sins is indifference toward God, a kind of yawning at God, God's call on our life, not paying attention, being bored with God and the things of God and the call of the kingdom. That's the essence of what sloth is all about. It's a disregard for God and God's call on the creature.
And I think also when we start thinking about it as people's idea and how they approach life and its duties and the attitude towards life, I think a lot of people take such a negative attitude, which causes you to be slothful, lazy, all these kind of things, instead of I choose to take a positive attitude on life. I think that's what we're going to cover in this, a little bit of negative attitude, positive attitude. Mm-hmm.
I got nothing. I didn't take the time. I didn't take the time to do the preparation. Sorry.
What a skillful guy you are.
We can always count on him for example. Yeah. Right?
No, the funny thing about this sin is we think it's sitting on a sofa and doing nothing, and that can be it. But it also can be working very, very hard to please yourself.
Right.
But when the important things come along, there's a slowness, and as we'll see in our discussion, there even a sadness that comes at looking at the great things that we could do. And we just opt not to.
One of the things, too, we talked about indifference a little bit. And the thing that gets me nowadays, guys, and I don't know about you guys, is we're not in awe of God. We're going to touch on the spiritual realm of this whole thing, this indifference. And really, God is an important in my life. And when you do that, you're going to run into the problems. You're talking about slothful. You're going to have other things besides slothfulness.
Sloth also is a kind of blindness. We're not seeing the truth about God, about reality, about who we are. And we're living in darkness. Scripture talks about it a lot in terms of, our senseless minds were darkened. That's one of the effects of having a darkened mind, is not seeing the reality, the light of God and God's call in our life. And we don't even know the goal. We're so kind of trapped in our own little world of thinking. And the gospel preach penetrates that and brings light and opens up the mind and births faith. We begin to see the magnitude and the greatness of God.
What do you suppose leads us into this state where we don't have any zeal for this wonderful gift of life?
It's funny how it works together almost like two blades of a scissors along with anger and sloth. When you have anger in your life, you probably also have sloth, because anger is this outburst of energy. And it's the result of having not channeled it in the right direction. So our sloth gives us this reservoir of energy that we're not using. And then something comes along and somebody bugs you, and all of a sudden you attack, because we're meant to act. And if we would learn how to channel our energy in the right direction, our anger would go down and our sloth would evaporate. And so we need to be able to see how, when we live the virtues, these deadly sins actually begin to dissipate across the boards.
It's amazing how well you understand these things.
it's right there where I live.
Yeah, right.
We're going to need a game plan get through this, one of the seven deadly sins, sloth, that's coming up, the game plan with Peter and Curtis, next here on Crossing the Goal. But first, a quick timeout.
And our topic today is sloth, laziness. And we've talked about how this problem affects us, but Peter, when we talk about it, what exactly is the sin and how do we get into it?
You might define it as sorrow, in the face of God, or you said it, there's sadness in the face of God and God's call on us. We're called to a living relationship with the Creator of the universe. That's our vocation. That's our dignity. And this great God has revealed Himself to us. He's opened up His existences in eternity and His glory to us. And sloth is like, oh, just kind of yawning in the face of God and being indifferent. I'm not interested in the greatness and the wonder and the beauty of God and His kingdom. I'm interested in me and my little world. I don't rise to anything higher than my passions, my desires, and what I want.
The Sistine Chapel on the ceiling has this painting of God reaching across the heavens to Adam, and Adam's going, I just don't really care. If you just extend his hand, he'd be in contact with God. But there's just this sense of, it's just not exciting for us. It's an amazing breakdown because we're made for God. All of our happiness is resting in union with Him. But we're just so preoccupied with ourselves, we don't extend ourselves.
Yeah. I think sloth is kind of a characteristic or an epidemic problem in our time. As our culture becomes more secularized, as we intentionally exile God and send God into eclipse, and we can't see the Lord as clearly. Our culture is not as filled with as many institutions and expressions that acknowledge God and God's greatness. We begin, our horizon drops and it gets flattened. And there's a kind of boredom with life that sets in because nothing in life is going to satisfy the hole we have in our hearts, the God-shaped hole we have. And if we don't see God, then we start to look for satisfaction, something to fill that hole in the material world around us. So there's a constant frantic pursuit of a life of uninterrupted entertainment, right? And titillating and distracting ourselves and all of this, and it never satisfies.
No, the Psalms tell us that the heavens declare the glory of God. But what we've done is we're creating now in our modern culture a virtual world that it attracts our attention, and particularly you young guys out there. And I don't mean to go after your entertainment, but when we look at the way we spend time with the Xbox and the PlayStation, and we're spending hours of time in a virtual world, and it's pulling greatness out of us. We're battling evil and conquering things and really kind of demonstrating the kind of valor we're supposed to have in real life, but in a virtual world. And then all of a sudden, 6 hours later, we turn it off and we're too tired to go out and live the real life. Yeah. And we need to recognize that we're wasting, we're allowing the world, not the world God created, but the world the way the Scripture speaks of it, to distract us from reality. And that if we could recognize that God has a call on your life, my life, on all of our lives to greatness, and that sloth keeps us from that, we're taking a nap when we should be conquering the world.
Yeah, very good. You know, we're calling sloth a deadly sin because it can kill us. It kills us because it can lead us to that second death that Scripture talks about, never making it home, never making it into eternal life with God. And if we look at how strongly Jesus speaks against this kind of attitude, he's got the parable about, you know, the salt. He says, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. But what happens if the salt goes flat? What did Jesus say?
It's good for nothing, and it's ready to be thrown away.
It's good for nothing, and to be stamped under our feet, he said. And then in Revelation, he said, you know, I would that you be either hot or cold. Just don't be indifferent. Just don't be that. Take that posture because it makes him sick.
Otherwise, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Yeah. I mean, this is a radical rejection because we have not become what we were supposed to be. Right. And we have to recognize, I mean, this beautiful image, we've called it to be light and salt. But right now, the church in many ways is a light that doesn't shine. Yeah. And it's a salt that's lost its savor.
Right.
And by overcoming sloth, that's how we begin to come alive again. It's almost like we're in a spiritual coma, and we've been called to wake up and to come alive in Christ and really begin to shine, because the world's waiting for that. And until we do, the world's going to continue to sleep, because we're the alarm clock, if you will.
And Jesus has come, sent by the Father as a man on fire, right? Zeal for God's house consumes me, he said. That's the passion in the heart of the Lord. So he's coming with the kingdom, with the life of God, the joy of God, and he opens up faith for us in a way of seeing and knowing and living. And in the face of that, we yawn. In the face of that, we yawn. And his response is, judgment is going to come. How do we defeat sloth in our life?
And the real challenge is, guys, to overcome sloth, you have to recognize we're slothful because we're afraid. Yeah. Fear is what traps us and keeps us from becoming what we're supposed to be. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. We've got a game plan. Coach, let's wake up and get down to the red zone.
I really don't feel like it. Do I have to? But I will. Okay.
All right. We're in the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal. First, a quick timeout.
thoughts.
We're back talking about sloth here on Crossing the Goal. This is the final in our seven deadly sins. And by the way, you can visit us at crossingthegoal.com. I was just faking. I really wasn't taking a nap there. But Danny, we've done a pretty good job of mapping out this deadly sin. Let's talk about how we can counter it.
How do we counter sloth and laziness? And how do we change our attitude towards things? I think we start, first of all and foremost, is our attitude, our positive. Take a positive attitude and then be in awe of God in our life, not have him out of our life, into our life, and a zeal in our life.
I love that word.
Yeah, no, to strive to do the best we can. So many of us just want to just get by. We're not down here. We're not made to just get by. I don't care what you do in life. Do it with fervor. Do it with being. Do it with for the glory of God. And watch. You won't be slothful. You won't be lazy. I promise you.
I think one of the central problems is that we sometimes think of it as an external thing. Like, I got to just physically get myself going. The reason we can't physically get motivated sometimes is because there's something deeper inside that's asleep, that's flat.
Right.
It's our spirit. And our spirit needs to be awakened. So the fundamental antidote to sloth is faith.
Yeah.
And faith comes through hearing. What's heard is the word of God. You know, Pope Benedict XVI just said this past year, a year and a half ago, I pray that every Catholic would read the scripture daily. He said, because in reading the Bible, he says, you'll meet Jesus personally. He said, I believe that's the secret to a new spiritual springtime for the church. Those are his exact words. Why? Because he knows that once the spirit, our heart, our inner heart, is touched by the beauty, the majesty, the glory of Jesus, bam, something gets awakened. And when I'm awakened here and I'm alive, I got energy for all kinds of things.
Yeah, think about springtime, how much energy we have after a long, cold winter. When the spring comes, we're all ready to go. That's a great analogy.
I noticed he was looking at you when he started talking about reading the scripture.
I just hate it when he snores. I mean, I'm watching, he starts nodding his head and he's snoring.
I was a little sleepy. No, I'm not. No, I love that. I mean, I absolutely agree. That's where I discovered Christ, was in the reading of the scriptures. My life was completely transformed. And I think when I look at my life now, I look at my life as a chain. And when we're talking about sloth or any of the seven deadly sins, we need to look at the weakest link. Because we all do some things very well.
Yeah.
But we're not who we ought to be. And I know in my life, I'll go to work and I've got a staff that love me and admire me. And literally at times, they'll stand outside of my office and say, you know, we need some of your time. Well, then I go home and my teenagers are not so, impressed.
Yeah, right.
And I got to earn the right to be heard. And they love me and they respect me, but I have to work for it. And I'm tempted to say, I already worked hard.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to relax. But my most important job is with them, and to realize my weakest link is when I get home, I'm tempted to be slothful in my role as a father of really just getting outside of myself and loving my kids. And we all have those weak points. We have to look to, pray about, and let God step in and give us the power.
You know, a lot of guys out there might be saying, coach and team, that sounds good, but it's pretty hard to do. How do we change this? How do we get this attitude? How do we get this power in us?
Well, how do you keep your fire
burning?
Well,
you know, just like you said that Pope Benedict talked about, there has to be a change about scriptures. He also talked about the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, that each person has to experience this, that we have to allow God. Where did the change come in our life? I was laid back, maybe not slothful, but slothful in some of the things in my spiritual life. But when I allowed the Holy Spirit to come into my life in a deeper way, it changed my whole attitude, how I looked at things, that I didn't have to rely on myself, Curtis, that I relied on the Lord in my life. Now, I had to go do it, you know, with his power behind me.
Look what you're talking about, though. Look at the apostles. They lived with Christ for 3 years. They watched him die. They watched him be risen from the dead. They spent 40 days with the risen Lord, and they're still huddled in an upper room. But when the Holy Spirit descends upon them, bam, they're world changers. We need the power of the Holy Spirit unleashed in our life, and we have to ask God for that grace and then yield to the Spirit and allow him to transform us and make us new men.
How did you ask, Dan, when you said, you know, you opened yourself up? What do you mean? What did you do?
You know, like, what I think happens, it happened to me and other people, they become overwhelmed with things. How can you and I talked about that, Brian, say, I feel overwhelmed sometimes in these things and I can't do it myself. And then you realize that you had to turn it over. I just said, Lord, come into my life. please help me in this situation. What's he going to tell me? No. Yeah. Now, it's not a lightning bolt type of thing. Right. And he says, I could sense, I could feel, and it's a work. And it's an action plan. You don't sit back, oh, Lord, help me, and all of a sudden everything's going to be take care of all the things around you. No, you have to physically go start doing, mentally going to these things, and the Lord will bless you in your works.
But there is that paradox that we need to surrender ourselves.
Absolutely.
That we need to admit our own powerlessness in order to be empowered and emboldened by the Holy Spirit.
Self. We're so worried about self. You want to stop some? Start serving other people.
Right.
Ask the Lord to send you into other people's lives. Get out of self and get into other. That's not 100 different things. Start with your family, or start with your wife, or start with something, a single person, whatever it is, helping some other person in your life, and watch what happens.
You know, or some of the guys who are listening might be thinking, guys, I just don't have any, I don't have nothing going on inside thinking about, you know, God or wanting to pray. I have no energy. I have no interest in that whatsoever. Well, that just start there. Admit it, acknowledge it, and then say, Lord, you heard the truth today, brothers. You've heard what Jesus thinks about that disposition in us. Now get on your knees and beg God to open your eyes. Those who hunger and thirst are going to be filled. That's a promise from the King. And what he's going to do is he's going to set your heart on fire. He's going to help you love. He's going to reveal his love to you. And that's going to set your heart on fire. Like St. Augustine said, love knows no fatigue. He used to say that love is what moves us to want to rise to all that God has called us to.
And don't put it off. You know, the procrastination is really like a five-syllable word for sloth. We put off the things that, you know, that seem difficult. The things I want to do, I can get done right away.
Right.
I'm very industrious.
That's a key point right there. What you're
when
talking
I need
about,
when to do something.
Right. Or I don't get anything, or I can't feel the Lord in my life. But it's amazing how you can do this.
Yeah.
You have that want to do this. But you don't have, and you don't get tired or slothful or lazy when it comes to this. You do all this kind of stuff, or watching games, or do all this kind of stuff. When it comes to Lord, how much are you putting in? Are you really trying to find Lord in your life?
Yeah,
that's
we're talking two chapters of the New Testament. Open up the Gospel of Matthew or John and spend just two chapters. But just before you begin, just say, Lord, if you're real and you want to change me, I heard something today and I'm inspired to think that maybe you want to change me. If that's the case, then I want to spend some time in your word. Show me, speak to me, call me, and that will be the start. And then we can invite God into our lives.
You know what the saints used to do to motivate themselves as well? As they say, always say, is remember your death. The Psalms say, the scripture, because where's your life headed? Life here is short, and we're going to die, and we're going to face judgment. And the Lord's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the time I gave you? What did you do with the word I gave you and my church brought to you? Did you yawn in the face of it?
Right.
The saints use that as wisdom. It says, remember your death, and you'll gain wisdom. And wisdom is what? Understanding how to live well and how to live rightly, right?
Yeah, and it really set the bar high to sit back and say, it's not enough to just sit back and say, well, I didn't make these huge mistakes, or I didn't, you know, commit the huge sins. No, you had an opportunity to do great things. And we live in a world that needs men, particularly, to do great things. Children are being abused and attacked and destroyed. Our culture's, God's being driven out of schools. You pick one corner and go to work.
All right, we're going to give the last word from each of you guys next on Crossing the Goal as we push into the end zone. Stay with us for more. We pushed into the end zone here on Crossing the Goal talking about sloth, and I'd like to share a little tip that I have. I get up at 3:45 in the morning to do the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio. So I hit my knees the very first thing, and I pray the rosary, and with that, I can tackle the day with zeal, Peter.
Good job. 3:45, that's amazing. That's amazing. Brothers, all of us here on the stage, all four of us, our hearts are on fire understanding the times that we're living in and how important it is to wake men up, for men to come alive. I just want to read a quick quote here from Pope Benedict XVI. He said, in our days, in vast areas of the world, the faith is in danger of dying out, like a flame which no longer has fuel. God is disappearing from the horizon. Humanity is literally losing its bearings. And it's losing its bearings in part because men all over the world are falling asleep. It's time for us, brothers, to wake up and respond to the challenges of the time.
Wait, man. Go ahead, man.
No, I think that's a great point. And I'd like to go back to something, Brian, you said. If we're talking about how to wake up, kind of maybe a counterintuitive way of how to wake up, and that is to turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary for assistance. This is a woman who formed and raised Christ. She was the one who was the largest formative influence in his life on an earthly level. She was there at the foot of the cross watching her son die for you and for me. And now she sits at his right hand. If you turn to her and say, help me be more like your son, she's got his ear. She's going to lead you in a powerful way.
Men, all the years of my playing career and all the years of my coaching, there's one thing that prevented a lot of guys from climbing to the top, and that was their attitude. I ask you to take on a positive attitude. Wake up tomorrow morning and say, I'm going to take on a positive attitude today. Nothing's going to stop me. With me and the Lord, all things are possible.
Thanks, Coach Curtis and Peter, our Crossing the Goal team, getting you fired up, getting us through sloth. We're going to segue into a brand new series. Next time, we call it the S series. We're going to tackle things like scripture, suffering, sacrifice. And we'll also start taking some of your emails. So go to crossingthegoal.com, send us an email, and you might hear us read it and perhaps answer your question here on Crossing the Goal. So we begin our new series next time on Crossing the Goal. We'll see you then.